Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the Lesbian Book Club podcast with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month, I don't have an interview this month. It's just going to be me chatting. And what better way to start 2021? Although we are a little late with the first podcast of 2021, so I apologise. I've been launching my brand new book, Hot London Nights, which is book 7 in the London Romance series. So January was a bit crazy. But yes, here we are in February, ready to go again. I've got loads of authors lined up all through the year, so I hope you're going to stick with me. So coming up are my goals for 2021, and also let's see what's happening in the world of lesfic and in the Amazon and UK and US lesbian fiction charts. So first up, let's get to those charts. Topping the US charts as I record this on February the 1st is not Hayley Cass. The last couple of book clubs I've done, Hayley has been on top of the charts with either, with her latest book, When You Least Expect It. Now, I haven't read it, but if it's anything like her debut, Those Who Wait, which is also still really, really high in all the charts, it's well worth a look. But anyway, obviously, Hayley's book is still top five. It's about a divorce lawyer who falls for a client. That sounds like a great book to me. So Hayley's been a bit of a tour de force in 2020, and it looks like it's going to follow into 2021, but she's not at the top of the charts. No, who is? Well, it's Nicole Pyland with her latest in the Celebrity series, and it's called Path Forward. Now, Nicole has an ardent bunch of followers, as you know, this being number four in the series, and it shot to the top of the charts. And it's the story of Jessica and Val, set in the high gloss world of Hollywood celebrity. One has lost the love of her life, and the other has never felt right. Can their meeting fix their ills? You know what? I'm betting. I'm not generally a betting woman, but I'm going to bet that Jessica and Val are going to find love together, and it's going to be beautiful and, well, glossy. Also doing well in the charts is You and Me by Jade Winters. Now, Jade is a long-standing member of the Lesfic Parish, but she's recently taken quite a while out writing and producing short films. So this is her first novel in a while, and it focuses on Alice, who's just been dumped and is planning to jet off on the trip of a lifetime to get over her heartbreak. But right at the last, her mum has a stroke, and so Alice has to jettison her plans and head back to look after her mum. But there she meets Kerry, who's the nurse assigned to her mum, and that changes everything. Now, Jade is always a solid bet for a great story with relatable characters, so if this sounds like it might be up your street, give it a whirl. Also doing well in the US is Emma Donoghue's The Pull of the Stars. And this one actually is going to be next on my list to read once I've finished Claire Chambers' Small Pleasures, which I am very much enjoying at the moment. But this one, The Pull of the Stars, is a story set in the flu epidemic of 1918. I know, I remember seeing an interview with her about this just when it was coming out. And obviously she wrote this a couple of years ago, so it was way before COVID-19 came over the horizon. But yeah, this one's set in 1918 in the flu epidemic there. And it's a story of three women in the eye of a storm who change each other's lives. And it's all set around a maternity hospital. As I said, it seems apt to read about another pandemic while we're living through a modern one, so I'll let you know how it goes. Finally, riding high in the UK charts is Meryl Wilsner's Something to Talk About. Now, this one has been around for a while, but it's at the top of the charts because I think it's got a sale on it. So it, as I record this, it's 99p in the UK, and I think it might be discounted in the US. So if you get this, hurry and see if you can find it. I bought it for full price, so I'm outraged, obviously. This one is the story of Hollywood A-lister who fakes a relationship to get the tabloids off her back with her assistant, but then obviously ends up falling for her. It's a very slow burn, this one. It's an age gap, and it has a barrel of positive reviews in its back pocket. So if Hollywood A-listers and fake relationships and age gaps are three tropes you like, give it a whirl. So that's the chart roundup for February 2021. A late welcome, as I said, to the new year, which, well, maybe it's because this year kind of feels like last year, doesn't it? You know, I think me, like everybody else, had grand plans that 2021 was going to be the year we get to do everything we wanted to do in 2020, and also take all the lessons from 2020, and we're going to shower it with positivity and just all be really, really happy. It's not turning out that way so far, is it? But I'm focusing on the positives, which is why I'm leaving out Brexit for that reason. But there's a new president in the White House, which happened in January, which is great. There are a plethora of COVID vaccines are coming over the horizon, so that's good. So, you know, hopefully, maybe halfway through the year, we're going to see some shifting. I went for an asymptomatic COVID test in January, and it came back negative, so that was good. But the biggest news, obviously, from January is that my new book, Hot London Nights, came out on the 28th. Whoop, whoop. So this one is book 7 in the London Romance series, and I'm going to read you the blurb. It's never too late, especially to fall in love. Gina Gupta has never truly fallen for anyone. For a flat, yes. But a living, breathing woman? Nope. She came out late and now she's running her property firm. Perhaps she and love are simply incompatible. When Gina meets business hotshot and TV star India Contelli, she's sure that's not going to change. India is rich, gorgeous and heartbroken. Gina sells her a rooftop dream, then leaves. At least, that was how the script was meant to go. Instead, the duo end up tangled in each other's lives with neither wanting to escape. What's more, when they set out on a mission to reunite two long-lost lovers, the last thing they expect is for the romantic stardust to work on them too. Best-selling author Claire Lydon, that's me, brings you the next instalment of the London Romance series. And if you're a sucker for dreamy romance, family drama, chocolate biscuits and steamy London rooftops, pick up this sparkling romantic comedy today. I'm really, really pleased with this book. I honestly do think it's one of the best in the London Romance series. The main romance is gorgeous. It's between India Contelli and Gina Gupta. India made an appearance in book 6, Made in London, and honestly, she's a total dreamboat, not gonna lie. I think I might have an author crush on her. I don't often get crushes on my characters, but I think India probably joins the likes of Tanya and Kate from the London Romance series. I clearly have a thing for strong, assertive women. In a power suit, maybe. I don't think I've written another secondary character who literally jumped off the page and jumped into my heart. And she was a secondary character, I should say, in Made in London. She wasn't meant to be the lead in book 7, India. It was meant to be about Lib, but India insisted. You know, there's that old thing where writers say that the character jumped off the page and told me how I had no choice. And yes, if that sounds like I'm going mad, it's probably because I am. But yes, she did. So India insisted from Made in London that she should be the lead character in Hot London Nights. And so she was. The other lead is Gina Gupta, and I love Gina too. She's feisty, independent, and she's a late bloomer who's never been in love. And I know there are plenty of people out there who can relate. She's also got family issues to contend with, her parents not quite accepting she's gay. Gina is from an Indian background, and I've wanted to include a Indian lead character in my books for quite a while, and then sort of Gina just popped into my head and came along and she was perfect. And when I gave the book to an Indian friend to read, to check I had all the names and food and culture correct, she told me I got the family dynamics spot on. But I didn't really base the family dynamics on any particular Indian family. I think they're just family dynamics that anyone can relate to as they cut across all backgrounds, because there are many families that aren't accepting of their children being gay, right? My parents, for instance, took years to come around, but come around they did. So happily in this book, Gina's parents are thawing. She's 41. It's not a phase, Mum and Dad. As well as India and Gina, there's a secondary love story between Eunice and Joan, who were lovers in the late 50s, but then societal norms forced them apart. And they reunite after some letters Eunice wrote to Joan are found down the back of a drinks cabinet, and a hunt for the letter writer is set up. Now, this was based on a real life story I heard on the radio last year, so I decided to adapt it and fit it into my story. I, you know, I get so many of my ideas listening to the radio, so I should really not give up listening to the radio, right? In the real life one, somebody had found a cookbook down the back of a cabinet, and they had some letters in as well, but they had a cookbook from the 50s and they had all these recipes in the cookbook. And she set up an Instagram account and she'd started cooking one recipe a day and featuring it on her Instagram account. And she was appealing for who the author of the cookbook and the letters might be. So I was like, that's a good idea. So Eunice and Jonah are a couple who get the main focus in the next London romance book, which I'm writing right now, which is book 8, Big London Dreams. And it's their stories from the 50s. So it's a historical romance, which I'm really looking forward to writing as I've never done it. It's a new challenge for me, but I'm very up for it. And plus, I've set the characters to live in White City, which is where my mum lived in the 50s before she got married to my dad. So I am pumping her for info. And the London Romance series is where it all began for me, and it's a series that some readers and listeners are just finding today. So I hope if you haven't delved in yet, you enjoy the stories of London lesbians. You know, if you love British wit, steamy scenes and hijinks mixed with a bucket load of romance, they're definitely for you. And for those wondering, what about the audio? The wonderful Lucy Price Lewis will be recording Hot London Nights in March, so hopefully that will be out early summer. What about the world of lesfic? Well, not much going on at the moment. All the conferences are, I think, still on hold, you know, because, well, the world is still in a state of pause, isn't it? Yeah, I think GCLS and Lambda Literary and the ones close to home, like the South Coast Lesfic Hangout and Western Super Lesfic, I think they all went online last year. And it wouldn't surprise me if they're all online this year. I mean, I know a few of them are later in the year, so maybe the British held ones will be able to be in real life, but I think maybe GCLS might be online again this year. But I do come bearing news of something I'm doing. I'm doing it in collaboration with Stockport Library Service, who got in touch with me and asked me if I would come and do a Zoom chat about my new book, Hot London Nights, which I'm very happy to do. So that is happening on February the 25th. So if you are interested in coming along and zooming in and hearing me chat about my writing process and my journey and Hot London Nights, the London Romance series, please do come along and zoom in. And you can ask questions as well. There'll be a Q&A at the end. So yeah, that's on Thursday, February the 25th at 7 o'clock. And I'll put the link in the show notes. Right, let's get on now to my goals for 2021. I know, it feels like a while ago that I wrote these, but it was actually only about 2 weeks ago. That is 2021 in a nutshell, right? Isn't it? It's all a bit, long in every sense of the word. So last year, when I set my goals, I had very lofty goals, right? I was going to write 4 books. I was going to be gung-ho. And actually, do you know what? Even though 2020 was an absolute clusterfuck of a year, I did actually write 4 books. I didn't publish them all, but I did write them. And I just published the 4th one, Hot London Nights. So, but I'm counting that on this year. So this year, with everything that's happening, I'm not going to be so gung-ho because, you know, you never know what's going to happen health-wise or, you know, friend and family-wise. So I'm going into this with my eyes wide open. So my goals are pared back a little bit, but I still plan to write and publish 3 books. So I've already done one, Hot London Nights, hooray, is out now on ebook and print. The second book I'm going to publish is Big London Dreams. That's going to be London Romance Book 8. And I will be publishing an as yet untitled romance. Or it might be a romantic comedy. I haven't quite decided. I'm going to write a romance and I'm going to write a romantic comedy, but I'm not sure which one will be published this year. So I'm still working that out in my head. Yeah, as I say, this time last year, I had books planned. I had all my editors and covers booked. I'm just not that organised this year. I don't know, I'm having some resistance, but I have done my schedule. I have booked the editors and covers for the next book. So I've just got one more to do. So, hey, I'm not doing too bad. Stop being so down on yourself, Claire. I also plan to publish 4 new audiobooks. And you are listening to this podcast, so I'm assuming that you like audiobooks too. I know I do. So the audiobooks I'm going to publish this year are obviously the 2 I'm going to publish in my London Romance series, Hot London Nights and Big London Dreams. But I'm also going to go back into my backlist and publish The Long Weekend and Christmas in Mistletoe. So the latter 2 are in response to requests for my whole backlist to be put into audio from quite a lot of readers, actually. I think more and more people are going to audio first. So I want to have as much of my backlist in audio so people will have the option of listening. So I will let you know when they're done on these podcasts. I also want to look into selling audiobooks direct from my website and get that up and running. So yeah, do let me know if you would be interested in buying an audiobook direct, or are you wedded to Audible or whatever app you use? The other thing I'm going to be publishing this year is 3 more translations. So A Taste of Love and Nothing to Lose are coming in German. I think Nothing to Lose is coming out in June and A Taste of Love later in the year. Also, Before You Say I Do is coming out in Portuguese, being published by a Brazilian publisher, and that is coming out in May. And one of my goals for this year is to get another couple of translation contracts signed. And in fact, I've already done it, one of them, in January. So that was quick, right? Yes, I've already signed a contract for You're My Kind to be put into German, and that will be coming out in 2022, which seems so far away, but actually is just next year. So life, eh? Just carries on. I've also got 3 short stories to write on my schedule. Now, I've said I'm going to write short stories every year for the last 3 years. So if it doesn't happen this year, I'm taking it off my schedule. Because if you just keep intending to do things and then don't do them, take them off your schedule. Be kind to yourself. Podcast-wise, I plan to carry on doing the weekly show I co-host with TB Markinson, which is Lesbians Who Write. We love doing the show, but it does take a lot of time for us both. And I also plan to keep doing this show hopefully every month. Obviously I missed January, so that wasn't a good start, but you know, I am picking up the mantle and running with it now. So you know, both this Lesbian Book Club and Lesbians Who Write, they do take a long time to do podcasts. They are a commitment, but we are I am committing to this podcast, and TB and I are committing to Lesbians Who Write for this year. So I hope you keep listening, and I hope that you'll stay with me and enjoy all the guests that I've got on. Health and well-being, I think, is a goal that has to be top of my list this year. This year, I plan to stretch more. Now, obviously, I wrote these only mid-January, so like 2 or 3 weeks ago. But you know what? I'm really doing this. I am stretching more and meditating more, because I know meditation helps my mental health and my sleep. It really does help my sleep. Don't ask me why. I don't understand the mechanics. But you can shout at me if I stop. But thus far, since I put these goals down, I've been really good. I've been getting up every morning at 7:30, doing a bit of meditation and doing half an hour of yoga. And it does help, because sitting at a desk every day, you know, I'm sure you may sit at a desk every day for your job, whether you're a writer or not. And especially when you're working from home, you don't have the ergonomic setup quite as much. So I would recommend, if you're finding you're getting aches and pains and forearms aching from too much mouse action, do a bit of yoga. It does help. My other goal was to maintain my daily HIIT and walking routine. I have actually put a pause on my HIIT because body issues down one side, so I'm just doing stretching and stuff and walking still when it stops raining. I hate walking in the rain. So when it stops raining, I'll go out for a walk. But for me at the moment, yoga and walking are doing the trick. My other goal was no doom scrolling in bed. You know, I regularly lose hours in bed scrolling my phone. I know my life would be better without it. So this year I'm making a concerted effort to stop. And I have been doing that. When I wake up in the morning, I don't look at my phone before I come in and meditate and do yoga. And that is helping. I allow myself to do it at the weekend, so I'm not a complete saint, don't worry. But I like reading The Guardian at the weekend. I like reading the paper. So blind date in The Guardian, it's got to be done. My other goal for health and well-being is taking regular breaks and holidays when I can book time off again. So I have 3 trips that are tied into weddings and birthdays, and they're all at the end of the year from September to December. So I'm going to take shorter breaks earlier, hopefully, if we can go anywhere. I usually go on a writing retreat in January to Whitstable, but not this year. But I'm hoping that can be moved to mid-year, so we'll see. But even if I can't go away, I'm going to try and, you know, just take weekends off and stuff like that. Productivity goals. My main aim for 2021 is to work shorter hours but maintain the same level of output. So to do a big 2-hour deep work block in the morning and a 2-hour deep work block in the afternoon. And by doing this, I hope to stop work earlier and take more weekends off completely now. My business goals. So business goals, I'm going to look into ads and take a week and try them again. A little bit like doing short stories, ads have been on my list to learn forever. I need to bite the bullet and try it. And if it doesn't work, fine, but at least I tried. this writing malarkey. It ain't just about the writing. It is a business. It's how I survive. So I need to learn how to do a bit more ads, even if my shoulders tense up and I recoil a little bit. Courses, books on craft and business. Yes, I do want to do this. And I am reading a book on rest at the moment. And I'm doing a course on secondary plotline. So that's really good. I really do enjoy doing craft courses online. And, you know, the good thing about it is you can do them anywhere, anytime. And the ones I do are from WMG Publishing. They're run by Dean Wesley Smith and Christine Catherine Rush. And they're accessible to everyone. So if you just go to WMG Publishing and you can look them up, and I recommend them. My homework last week was to watch Die Hard. Not bad homework, is it? I have to say, I haven't watched Die Hard for like 30 years, and it was interesting. It's very of its time. Very 80s hair and clothes, yeah. And Bruce Willis is, well, it's amazing. He stayed alive that whole time, isn't it? I do enjoy doing craft courses, and they do, you know, pep up my writing, so that's good. Author events is another thing, business-wise, I want to do a bit more of. Last year, all the author events seemed to coincide with family obligations. So this year, I'm already getting off to a good start. I'm doing the one on February 25th on Zoom, and hopefully I'll be able to take part in some other author events as the year goes along. And I will let you know when they're on, because I suspect that they're mainly going to be online. So I think that these goals are doable. I think this year my aim is to be more flexible as we go and just see where it takes us, because if 2020 taught us anything, it's just to be that. You know, you never know what's coming up. Who knows what new variant of COVID might be thrown at us. And so I'm just going to take things slower, take stock, see where we go. So I hope you'll follow me along on this podcast. And I hope that your month one of 2021 has gone okay. Remember to be kind to yourself, because these are unprecedented and frankly bonkers times we're living in. We are going to look back on this and go, wow, how did we get through that? But you know, we just did. Coming up now, I'm going to have the opening chapter from book 6 of my London romance series, Made in London. So I hope you enjoy. And if you haven't read it, get it read, and then you can get in the swing for Hot London Nights.
Made in London, written by Claire Lydon. Read by Lucy Price Lewis. Chapter 1. Heidi Hughes lowered her driver's side window and leaned out. A barrage of fat raindrops hit her cheeks. She pulled herself back into the car, glancing at the bright blue digits of her dashboard clock. Fuck! Who got stuck behind a florist's van on Valentine's Day when they'd been single forever? The florist gave her a "What you gonna do?" smile as she got back into the van, the massive bouquet and garish red and white teddy bear safely delivered. There were plenty more squashed against the van's back window. Heidi ground her teeth together. Fuck, fuck, fuck! Swearing wasn't going to teleport her to the photography studio for her annual family photo any quicker, but it made her feel better. Fuck was her very favourite swear word, perhaps even her favourite word full stop. It got people's attention. However, now her daughter was talking, she was trying to curb her enthusiasm for it. It wasn't easy. The van moved finally, and Heidi pressed the accelerator. She eyed the clock again, guilt settling in her stomach. She wasn't just late. She was next level late. The kind of late that needed to sit in a chair and think about what it had done. The kind of late that made her mum talk about disappointment. The original Maya Hughes was a laid-back woman. She'd had to be, having given birth to Heidi and her sister, Sarah. The only thing she didn't tolerate was bad timekeeping. Mum always said it was a reaction to her upbringing, where timekeeping was non-existent. Heidi had been on board until she'd had her own daughter, Maya. Now, she had no idea how anyone with children got anything done on time. With her work and her daughter, Heidi's life was one constant race against the clock, and the clock normally won. That excuse held no truck with her Caribbean matriarch mother, though. 15 minutes later, Heidi parked and pulled the sun visor down. When she clocked the full extent of her makeup fail in the tiny square mirror, she shook her head. It had been perfect when she'd left her flat this morning. However, this morning's engagement photo shoot, which had massively overrun, had also involved her client's cats, Laurel and Hardy. who Heidi was massively allergic to. Hence now she looked like she'd been sobbing for a century. Her waterproof mascara hadn't stood a chance. Heidi flipped up the visor and got out of her silver Audi. She'd fix her face once she'd said hi to everyone. She pulled her coat up over her head in a bid to keep out the rain, inhaling the thick, damp air. Heidi's tardiness didn't matter to her daughter. Maya greeted her with a shriek as she walked into Pippa's studio. Heidi felt the heat of her mother's glower, so decided not to look up and face it just yet. Rather, she was going to enjoy giving Maya a cuddle, because she hadn't seen her for 4 hours. The way Maya was grinning, it might have been 4 years, because that's how kids measured time. Whenever Heidi was away from her daughter for anything longer than an hour, it was like she'd been on an expedition to the Arctic for months. "Hello, my little munchkin." She picked up her daughter and spun her in the air, much to Maya's delight. Her dark curls framed her face, her brown eyes sparkling as she let out her adorable cackle. At times like these, Maya was the perfect Sunday supplement child. "Were you a good girl for Auntie Sarah?" Heidi glanced her sister's way as she walked towards her. Maya wrapped her arms around Heidi's neck, her hot cheek sticking to Heidi's own. When she reached Sarah's side, Heidi brushed her lips against her sister's cheek. "She was a perfect little girl for me, weren't you?" Sarah gave Maya's side a tickle, and she wriggled in Heidi's arms. "She went into Albert's room and messed up his cards, which he's still getting over. But I told him to clear them up, so he's learned a valuable lesson." Sarah paused. "And then we made cupcakes, and Maya helped mix the dough, didn't you?" Maya nodded, her smile slick with dribble. "Cakes!" She clapped her hands before wriggling too much. Heidi put her down. Maya ran over to her cousin, Max. Heidi glanced back to her sister. "What happened to your face? You didn't look like that when you dropped Maya off earlier." Sarah wasn't one to beat around the bush. It was a family trait. "I meant to sort it out in traffic, but I gave up. It was too stop-start. Let's just say this morning's photo shoot involved cats." Heidi nodded towards the bathroom. "Let me go and fix it before Mum frowns at me." She was going to do just that when her sister's husband, Jason, arrived at her side. "Happy Valentine's Day," he studied her face. "If you say I look like a panda, I'll give you a different kind of black eye." Jason opened his mouth to speak, then promptly closed it. "How about a raccoon?" Sarah offered, flashing her trademark grin. "A sad badger?" Jason followed up, gaining momentum. Heidi let a smile invade her face. "Fuck off, the pair of you." Both Sarah and Jason turned up their grins. "By the way, I've made a decision about my birthday weekend." Sarah paused for added effect. "I've found a festival we can go to, so that's what we're doing. Jason's going to be the at-home dad to look after all the kids, Maya included, while we go and listen to music and get drunk. Sound good?" "Free childcare and booze. Count me in." Footsteps walking across the laminate studio floor signalled Heidi was too late to move, and her heart deflated like a balloon. She'd failed at avoiding her mother. She blamed her sister. "You're late, Heidi Ray." Her mum was using both her names, so it must be bad. "I know, I'm sorry." Even though she was 41, she still felt 12 at times like these. "The shoot ran over and then I got stuck in traffic. The rain didn't help either." Her mum peered closer at her face. "Have you been crying?" "Allergic reaction. The clients had cats." Her mum waved her away. "Go sort yourself out before the photo, then. We're already far too late, so let's get things going." Heidi gave her mum a nod, obeying immediately. She walked towards the bathroom, knowing exactly where it was, because they'd been coming to this studio for their annual family photo for as long as she could remember. However, this year was special, because it was to be Maya's first where she knew what was going on. Last year she'd been 8 months old. This year she was approaching the grand old age of 2. Heidi rearranged her face the best she could, a sparse single radiator on the far wall not really doing enough to heat the space. She shivered as she balanced her makeup bag on the edge of the white porcelain sink, wiping away the mascara on her cheeks, touching up her foundation and lipstick. She put a comb through her hair, practiced her family photo smile, then rolled her eyes. She'd have to do. Maybe Pippa could touch her up in the post-production. She'd have a word. When she got back outside, Pippa was waiting. She gave her a hug. Heidi had always been close to Pippa. What's more, her mum's oldest friend had been an invaluable source of advice when Heidi had become a wedding photographer some years ago. Now she was older, Pippa mainly stuck to studio work, referring any wedding clients to Heidi. Without Pippa, Heidi wouldn't have the thriving business she did.
Come on, eldest child, we haven't got all day.
That was Dad, his tone soft, his smile wide. Her dad never drove her as hard as her mum. Heidi walked towards her family, Sarah and Jason standing behind their three children, Albert, Alex and Max. Her parents, Maya and Robert to their left. Up until last year, she'd always been alone in the family photo. Just Heidi, year after year. None of her girlfriends had ever been permanent enough to make the shot. She'd never dreamed her child would make it before a partner, but life had a funny way of surprising you. Now Maya was nearly two, Heidi was thinking about dating again. She missed sex. She missed romance. She missed regular adult conversation. She missed all of it. Maybe next year, she'd have a partner as well as a child. The full set. Maya already had both hands in the air as Heidi scooped her up, kissing her curls as she settled in her arms. At times like this, she never wanted to let Maya go. Her dad squeezed her shoulder as Heidi settled next to him.
You look lovely,
he whispered, giving her a smile. Heidi wanted to find someone just like her dad, but perhaps with more hair and less stubble, and female.
All right, everyone. Jason, could you scoot in a little? Get closer to Sarah. Act as though you like her.
Pippa was in full-on directing mode. Jason did as he was told.
On my count, look at me, best cheesy smiles, and say, Valentine's Day.
Pippa held up a hand.
3, 2, 1.
The camera clicked, and Heidi gave the best smile she could.
Valentine's Day!
Maybe next year, she'd have someone standing to her left, too.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to find out any more about me or my books, just head on over to my website at www.clairelydon.co.uk, and while you're there, you can sign up for a free lesbian romance by filling in your email in the box at the top of the page. My books are also available anywhere books are published or streamed: Amazon, Kobo, Barnes & Noble, Apple, Google, Bella Books, Ilva Publishing, and direct from me on my website. Again, that's www.clairelydon.co.uk. And there's always a bargain to be had. Thank you so much to The Lesbian Lounge for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. And join me next month when I'll be having some more hot book club action. See you then.